Welcome back to Behavioral Science for Brands, a podcast where Richard and I spend time really digging into behavioral science, finding the practical applications that marketers and agencies can use to help grow brands today. And one of our passions, Richard, has been taking the academics that have come out of American universities and the application that's been happening all over Europe and the UK, and finding ways to take that all of that body of work and bring it back to this podcast to really make it easy for people, make it accessible so that everybody can access a lot of the power behind this topic. Today, we're turning our attention to a 2023 Gold Can Lion, where it was a very fascinating campaign. We're talking burritos, we're talking unexpected emails, and we're talking doppelgangers. This is Chipotle. My name's Michael Aaron Flicker.
And I'm Richard Shotton.
Let's get into it. So Richard, the brand we're talking about today is Chipotle, and we're specifically featuring a creative campaign by the agency Gale in the United States. And they created a really interesting campaign called the Doppelganger Campaign. I'll take a few minutes to just walk everybody through what the campaign was. In the show notes, we'll have links to the case study over at Gale, and then we can dive deep into some of the behavioral science that may be powering the success here. So Richard, the campaign that Gale put together for Chipotle was super interesting because it was based on the data that they were collecting from orders. So what they were doing was, all day long, they're looking at the orders being placed at Chipotles across the country. And whenever an order had the exact same customization, I want a burrito with grilled chicken, white rice, pinto beans, and corn salsa, if they got the same order in the same minute, they threw an email. And the email said, alert, Chipotle doppelganger detected. This was such an interesting email subject. It got lots of opens. It got lots of people interested. And what was really the genius behind it was that people that go to Chipotle that are a part of the loyalty program are really proud of their custom order. They know what they want. They've customized it over time. And to see someone somewhere else in the country at the same minute order the same thing at them really connected with them and increased their connection to the brand and really got them activated. Great case studies of TikTok users using the email as a background, talking about how they can't believe that somebody else in the same minute ordered the same thing as them. So really, it piques the wonder. It piques the interest. They detected during the campaign 466,000 doppelgangers, so almost a million people identified. And this drove, this drove tons of excitement on social media. 100 million impressions on social media. It increased Chipotle's website traffic by 20%. And there's some really interesting stories. You know, two people that went to the same college that lived in the same dorm got detected. You know, two people that discovered they had the same birthday, and they even got married on the same day. So then they found these connections, they find each other online, and they build even deeper connections. So super interesting campaign, super interesting execution. And there's a lot of human interest here. And the behavioral science that powers some of this is really interesting.
Yes, I think the point you mentioned is around piquing people's interest.
Yeah.
We get an awful lot of emails, most of them we ignore. How do you capture someone's interest? And there is a specific study from Michael Santos, one of the Californian universities back in 1994, which he actually calls the peak effect.
P-I-Q-U-E.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Slightly strange study. He gets some graduate students to go out onto the streets of San Francisco and go and beg for money. And sometimes they ask for money in a very standard way. They say to people who pass by, can you spare a quarter? Can you spare any loose change? And they managed to get 23% of the passers-by to give them some money. Other occasions, they ask for money in a slightly more surprising way. They say, can you give me 17 cents or 37 cents? And the proportion of people who give them money jumps to 37%. So, I don't know, it was about a 50% increase in responses. Santos's argument is it's the power of surprise. He says, to get through life, most of us have scripts in our head that if we see a standard request, like a beggar saying, can I have some money, we have an automatic response, a script. He says, rather than just weigh up the merits of the request, rather than weigh up the individual need of that particular person, you just have an automatic script that says, someone asks you for money, I just say no.
Right.
However, if you're in a situation where the request is very surprising, it's unexpected, you have no script, and therefore you at least have to consider the merits.
You open the door.
You open the door. Not everyone gives money. I mean, it was less than 40% gave money. But it's a significant improvement. That's very similar with the world of commerce. We're always getting inundated with messages from businesses. So most of them we ignore. Our script is, they're just trying to sell me something. I'm going to ignore it. You start throwing a mention of doppelgangers, you've at least caught people's interest. You're at least going to consider it. And that, as you say, opens the door. And I think that's at the heart of what Chipotle have done there.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at their case study, they really talk about how that unexpected email subject line opens the door for the campaign to be successful. Not that subject line, and the whole thing might not have worked. So you, as you say, we pique their interest with something they're not expecting. We break the script of, you know, this coupon's available now, or see our fall styles, or whatever the standard subject lines are.
Yeah, just and delete, delete. Yeah, yeah.
And we open it up. I think in the case study, they say an average American deletes 80 emails a day of promotional emails. So really hard to break through.
Yeah, you cannot take your customer's attention for granted. It's a hellishly hard thing to get someone's attention, but it's crucial. Without that, everything else is academic.
Yeah.
So testing those subject lines, introducing an element of surprise, I think that's probably the main thing that people can learn from that Chipotle example.
Yeah. So let's go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to dig in here because there's some other interesting things going on.
Behavioral Science for Brands is brought to you by Method One. Method One builds digital-first marketing systems that help brands grow. They are behavior change experts who solve business challenges by creating meaningful connections with consumers, with deep disciplines in many brand categories. Reach out to them if you'd like to be leveraging behavioral science in your marketing or advertising.
Welcome back to Behavioral Science for Brands. Today, Richard and I are talking about Chipotle's Cannes Lion Gold campaign called The Doppelganger. And, you know, Richard, we were talking before the break about the peak, the P-I-Q-U-E, where you peak in interest and you can really break through email clutter, social media clutter with something unexpected. But there's got to be more than just breaking through. I mean, to this campaign, just an unexpected subject line is not really enough to drive the impact that they had for Chipotle. And we were talking about it before we started this episode. And the other really interesting thing they've done here is they've made a connection with what people are most interested in, which is themselves, right? They taught you something, not just about the brand or someone else, but they reveal something about you.
Yeah, they're telling you about someone else out there in the world, but crucially, someone who has a, albeit very trivial, link with you. Now, that does tap into some really interesting experiments. So we've talked about this one before in another episode, but we were very, very cursory in discussing about it. So it's a 2005 study, and it's by Levine, who's at Lancaster University. And it's a little bit British, because it's all about soccer.
No problem.
So they recruit a group of Man United fans.
Yes.
This is arguably the most successful British football team. And they essentially lie to those fans, a little bit of subterfuge. They make up a reason why they're on campus to be running a study. And it's something along the lines of, we want you to go to another room on campus and watch some footage of football matches and spot fouls, let's say. But really what the psychologists are interested in is what happens as the participants are walking from the briefing to the hall where they're going to watch the videos. Because as they walk on that journey, there is a colleague of the psychologists who runs past them and falls over.
Okay.
And the interest is what proportion of people help the jogger get back up again. Now, if the jogger is wearing an unbranded shirt, like say, let's say a plain white t-shirt, 33% of the participants help that person to their feet. If the jogger is wearing a Liverpool top, this is the
arch nemesis.
Exactly. This is the football club that Man United have had the biggest long-standing rivalry with. If the jogger's wearing a Liverpool top, 30% of people help. So it's a small drop, but it's not that much. But then the interesting finding for us, and I think that relates to this Chipotle study, is if the jogger is wearing a Man United top, same club as them, then 92% of people stop and help them. So it's this idea that we have an affinity for people who share some type of characteristic with ourselves. And what's interesting in this study is that that characteristic isn't fixed. So in other variants of the study, where in the preamble to the falling jogger, people are emphasised, well, you're all football fans together. It's not just about Man United, you're all football fans. Suddenly, people are helping the Liverpool fans who fall over much more. So we can change, I think, the elements that we see in other people to adopt and adapt how much people come to others' aid. That study at first, look, I know it does sound a little bit different to the world of commerce. But if you think about what brilliant salespeople do, I think they're applying this insight. What they very quickly do when they meet a new prospect is they try and find elements of overlapping interest.
Yes.
So all of us have hundreds of different aspects. You know, we might be interested in soccer. We might be from Essex. We might like photography. You know, there are lots of different aspects to us. The job of the salesperson is to find, well, what is it with the prospect that genuinely overlaps with my interest or background? And if you can create that sense of affinity, however trivial, you can often unlock people's interest and warmth and boost your likability and ultimately what you sell.
And I think the brilliance of the Chipotle campaign was that the act of ordering at Chipotle is a customization act. For those that have been in a Chipotle, they were the first quick service restaurant in America to have you choose what you wanted as you go down the line. So you choose the protein, you choose the extra items, you choose the wrap or the bowl. And so the act of being a Chipotle customer is the act of customization. And that's what the Doppelganger campaign connects you on, how you customize. In so many of our episodes, we've talked about that loose connection can be really loose, whether we have an example of people who leave towels on the floor in a hotel, and even just saying people who stayed in the same room increases the chances that they won't, that they'll reuse their towels. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know this study that well, so apologies if I get the specifics wrong, but I think he was called Henri Tajfel, might have got that pronunciation wrong, where he shows how trivial the links between people can be. Essentially, you know, participants are told whether they might be people who are like Kandinsky paintings, or they're more likely to be in the Paul Klee school of art. And then they have an opportunity later on to allocate money to other people. And the broad findings, we're much more likely to give money to people who enjoy the same type of art. Now, that's a completely level of affinity. But even emphasizing that tiny, tiny link encourages helping behavior.
I think as marketers, if we understand human nature is to be drawn towards tribes, it's our opportunity to make the tribes how we design them, to best meet the brand's needs, the nonprofit's needs, whoever we're helping support, to draw that tribe in such a way that we can help enlarge the circle of people that all see each other the same way and do better for.
That's, I think, the interesting outtake of the Levine study, that you know, you can either define yourself as a parochial club fan
or a Manchester United fan.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. You can expand and contract these in and out groups.
Yeah.
And I think it's the malleability that's interesting.
Yeah. And I think ultimately our job is to connect with buyers and consumers in a way that make them more likely to want to do the behavior that we want done. And we can do that through tapping into this innate want to see others like like we see ourselves. It's really just revealing a part of human nature that we can use to help get the actions that we need. So, Richard, as we like to do at the end of every episode, we like to sum up the big takeaways for our listeners at home.
Yeah, I think this one we might have two big takeaways.
Yeah, sure.
The first is you cannot take people's attention for granted. And I think too many advertisers do. They think everyone is paying attention to the ad and therefore try and sell straight away. What the Chipotle example shows and what the Santos experiment to the peak effect suggests is you can grab someone's attention by being surprising. You know, think about confounding people's expectations. They're more likely to pay attention. Mm. But that only opens the opportunity to persuade. It doesn't actually persuade people. And the follow-up part from Chipotle, which is so interesting, is this insight that the topic that everyone is most interested in the world is themselves. And if you can try and build some of these affinities, I think there's a really interesting opportunity ahead.
And the weakest of links can still be seen as a tribe that will build affinity.
Yeah. And what's interesting here is the Chipotle is an example that you've taken through. It's a lovely example of creativity, but it's also a very, very specific study. So people might think, well, how can I apply that? Mm. But the principle can be applied to, I think, any sales interaction. Look for the affinity with your audience. Find something you genuinely share together. Maybe you grew up in the same town. Maybe you went to the same university. Maybe you support the same football team. Mm. Find something that links the two of you and then emphasize that. And that other person is more likely to want to help you.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Richard, as we come to the end of every episode, we always like to end with a little levity, a little that reveals about us and hopefully gets everybody at home thinking. Your favorite order at Chipotle?
Okay, yeah. So, definitely spicy.
Yeah.
Probably chicken, trying to be a bit healthier. And get rid of the wrap. What was it? I think they call it a naked bowl.
Yes. So
anything that's spicy, no wrap, and chicken. Some kind of variant on that.
I love it. Mm. I love it. My build would be also a bowl, also chicken. I like the black beans and the brown rice. I think to me, that's what makes the bowl really great. Nice. Yeah. We're fans of Chipotle.
Yeah.
We're also fans of behavioral science that moves, motivates people. Until next time, if there's things of interest in today's episode you'd like to learn more about, reach out to us at the Consumer Behavior Lab. Leave a comment, leave a review. And until next time, I'm Michael Aaron Flicker.
And I'm Richard Shelton.